Here I was, blaming AEW for feeding you chicken shit, knowing you mindless millennials would be eating it up as if it were chicken salad, when it's really been your fault all along.
Make chicken salad out of chicken shit. People is as people does, that's all there is to it. Put a square peg in a round hole, just never seems to fit. And you can't make chicken salad out of chicken shit.
Hello and welcome to Making Chicken Salad, the Wrestle Radio Australia show where we talk about everything going on around the world of wrestling. We don't have Toddy with us today. Instead, it's a show with just me and old mate from WrestleBrania, Jeff Setti. Jeff, how are you doing, mate?
Good luck. How's yourself, buddy?
Yeah, pretty good. Saw some wrestling on the weekend, so I'm happy.
Always a good time. Always a good time.
Speaking of which, look, we haven't got Todd to boss us around and tell us what order to do this in. Let's jump into Aussie wrestling for once. This is, you know, a show where we talk about everything going on around the wider world, but really it is Wrestle Radio Australia. We are here because we love Aussie wrestling. And we got around to watching RCW Unstoppable. So this is a show that is a few weeks ago now, but it's up on YouTube for free. If you are interested in watching this show, go to YouTube, search for RCW Unstoppable. You're going to be able to find it and watch the whole thing. 2-hour show, free on YouTube. You can't complain about that. I thought, like, just before we get into individual matches, I thought this was a cracking little show.
Yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun. It was clearly an Academy show, like set in the RCW Academy area. But, the performers all gave it everything they had. It was a lot of fun. It went at a great pace. Like, it didn't stop for 30 seconds. Just really good. There weren't too many interviews. There weren't too many dead moments. And, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
You can tell when a show feels like a wrestling show rather than a production they wanted to put on. You know what I mean? And there's, you know, they did a really good job of setting up the things that they needed to. So, like, there was a bit of pre-match hype for the main event. But for most of these matches, they just got in and had a match, which I think really paid off for the overall show.
Agreed.
So to start, at the very top of the card, we had a title match for the Riot City Wrestling Championship with Matt Hayter retaining his title against Rig. Now, what did you think of this one, Jeff?
I really like this. It was a brief little match. We all know Rig is capable of longer matches and a bit more than he showed here, but I think it was to continue Hayter being over. Interestingly, Hayter works a face in Adelaide and is pretty much a great heel around the rest of the country, like so easy to hate. But here he really, you know, they, despite being shorter, Hayter still bumped around a lot, had his working boots on for Rig, still made Rig look good in the short time period. But I think that, you know, I think Rig's got a reason to still want a rematch and kind of power on, you know?
Yeah, I think that considering, you know, you've mentioned it wasn't the longest match in the world, I could have watched these guys go at it for much longer. And I think that's probably where we were coming from. If it wasn't Matt Hayter versus Rig, I don't think we'd be complaining about the length of this match at all. It's just that we know how damn good both of these guys are. And it was so entertaining watching them in the time that they had. And that thought in the back of my head of, ooh, this could even be better in a longer form, you know?
Yeah, I agree completely. In fact, and I'm just looking at the times, apart from one match, which was more an angle, it was the shortest match of the night. And I think I'd have given it another 5 to 10 minutes, to be honest.
In saying that, I think other than the main event, most of the matches were similar in length.
Yes.
So I've just got like a bit of a run sheet here. That match went just under 9. The next two matches both went just over 9. We've got another tag match that went just under 10. And then a title match that went for just under 13. And then the main event. So I think they were all sitting at around that time limit. It's just that I would really love to see Hayter versus Rig get that, you know, 25-minute title main event match. And I think that, like you said, the door is still open for it. We've got the ability to, it hasn't been taken off the table, while still having a really good match where they did a lot of work setting up Rig potentially hitting that cannonball that is devastating, Hayter hitting the moves that he did had when he needed to have them. Yeah, I thought it was a whole lot of fun, and it showed why those guys are. I think it was right to not have it in the main event because the main event was insane, and we'll get to that. So these guys had to open the show in a way that would get everyone really excited without making the rest of the cards seem like a letdown. And I think they did that perfectly.
I think they did very well. Look, I think despite being shorter, it did crack along. And both guys came out looking good.
Oh, yeah.
Like you wouldn't say it was a squash. You wouldn't say Rig looked bad, but it could have had a bit more in it.
Definitely. And look, I think that Matt Hayter rightfully gets a lot of credit around the country. I don't know if Rig gets mentioned as much as maybe he should, considering just how good he is to watch. I have never seen a match of him that has been anything less than really, really fun.
Yeah,
big props to Rig there.
I would concur with that. The next match after that was Grimm and Snacks defeating Jay Taylor and Nick Armstrong. What'd you think, Lockie?
Look, whenever you've got guys like Nick Armstrong and Matt Basso in a match, it's not going to be a bad match.
No.
Right? There's like true top quality veterans here. And I think using it as a vehicle to, this seemed to be a match that wanted to put Snacks over as a young guy who can go, and him kind of getting Grimm's blessing there worked really well. I think Jay Taylor was also a really great addition to that match. Worked well as kind of an imported guy to RC-Dub. I thought that, you know, I feel like there's not a lot to say here. It felt like a bit of a classic tag team match where the heels are holding the faces back, not letting them get that hot tag. Hot tag comes, blows the roof off the place. I just think it was classic.
And I think, you know, you've got to mention Nick Armstrong because he does such good character work. Everything he does has purpose and reason, and he's so entertaining to watch. I'm just unashamedly a fan of the guy. I've seen him a few times, and he adds so much to wrestling, whether it's as a face, and he works really well as a face, or whether at the moment as he is a heel, he's clearly having a great time being a smarmy, smug prick that the entire audience probably think, oh, I could go him. You couldn't.
Yeah, but, exactly. And it's just like, no matter who you are, you sit there, you think, if he pokes his tongue out one more time, I swear. He is so good at that. Even, you know, me sitting there going, oh, he's been doing this for so long and he's so good at it. And then he waggles that tongue and you're like, you little prick.
He does. I think he's exceptional. And I'm really, I think he's having, because he has been going a few years, it's a bit of a mid-career resurgence, and it's really, really nice to see. So, yeah, big fan. Yeah,
absolutely. And he's doing the whole champ thing at the moment is really cool as well. It's also worth noting that, like, just while we're talking about Nick Armstrong, he is going to be in the Wrestle Rampage Conquest Tournament, which I think is definitely worth keeping an eye out if you're into Australian wrestling. So 7 of the 8 competitors have been announced. He's going to be in a first round match against our Queensland boy, Tim Hayden, one of Todd's boys in top tier there. Tim Hayden versus Nick Armstrong is a match that I cannot wait for. The fact it's happening in, you know, South Australia instead of in Brisbane is devastating to me. But just to quickly give the rundown of that tournament so far, please. Tim Hayden versus Nick Armstrong, the winner of that will go up against the winner of Rat Daddy versus Julian Ward. Then on the other side of the tournament, we've got Corndog versus Corey Adams. And that's up against Edward Dusk versus a mystery entrant, with the winner getting a title shot.
That is a fantastic tournament because they're either early career or mid-career. The longest person who's in that is Nick Armstrong.
Nick Armstrong. Mm.
Everyone else is still quite fresh. Julian Ward can go. He is amazing. Edward Dusk, if you don't know about Edward Dusk, Edward has his character down. He's got crisp ring work. You've got to check him out. He is fantastic. And he plays a heel really, really well, like a creepy, unsettling heel really well. In fact, he'd be good with the crew in the main event of the show we're talking about now, who we'll get onto a bit later.
Yeah, sorry, I just thought I'd throw that one out there because that is going to be an absolutely cracking tournament I can't wait for.
That does sound fantastic.
But yeah, to keep talking about RC Dub, so that tag team match was really fun. Onto that, we had a qualifying five-way match for the Strength Cup. This had Chris Basso, Down Under, James Craig, Jesse Hendry, and Kit Condor, with Chris Basso coming out on top and qualifying for the Strength Cup. Yeah, what did you think, Jeff?
Oh, look, it didn't stop, did it? It just kept going and going. It was never dull. I think it had so much pace and was fun. The winner was a bit telegraphed. I mean, Basso is so good. Great to watch. I've seen him here a few times and he's always entertaining and always a lot of fun. So I think it was never going to be anyone else. Saying that, who cares? They were all good. I like Redshaw so much. Oh, he's in the next match. Yeah, I like, but I completely fell for the whole angle within the match of, you know, the bigger guys bullying the little guys, and Basso just coming out on top with his knowledge and his skill.
I love when you have a multi-man match and there's a team inside of that match. So we had, I believe it was Down Under and James Cray working together. And so that means that they're happy regardless of which one of them wins. So you end up with Jesse Hendry and Kit Condor and Chris Basso having to work against those odds. And then if they can collectively overcome those odds, then they've still got each other to deal with. I think that, look, when it started, my expectation was that Chris Basso was going to win because he's Chris Basso, right?
Yeah.
But I think they did a really good job of teasing Kit Condor and of really getting him over as someone who can do amazing stuff in the ring, who the fans can really engage with. I love seeing a masked wrestler who can go. Kit Condor is one of a handful in Australia. And I think he was a perfect showcase in this match where, you know, he would come and do a flip out of nowhere. And Basso just got over the line at the end. But I love the way commentary put over that, you know, on another day of the week, it could have been Kit Condor. It was that close.
I agree with you. I think it was a very well worked out match. I think whoever put it together did a great job. I'd say it was the five of them. And I think they all had moments, but you're right. Kit Condor was kind of the El Generico, the guy who you want to see win it, but you know realistically he's probably not going to.
Yeah, when you've got a guy like Chris Basso in there, you're like, I'm happy if Chris Basso wins, but quietly I've got my fingers crossed for Condor, you know. So I thought that was really well done. Following that, we had a match for the RCW Emerald Crown title between Redshaw and Katie Trey, with Redshaw eventually coming out on top after a grueling match, but then his tag team partner, Jet Armstrong, clocks him with the key to the city and cashes it in to pin him quick and take that Emerald Crown title straight off him. You were talking just before about how you feel about Redshaw. Tell us more.
Unashamedly a fan. Again, obviously he's been up here a few times, making the trip from Adelaide to Melbourne. Really, really entertaining to watch. Gets the crowd going, whether he's working heel or face. And that's where RCW are really good. They've got people who can flip so well and so easily. And he's got a good power set. He looks like a power wrestler and he moves and acts like a power wrestler. He wrestles with clotheslines and body slams. And guys like that, everything they do hurt. Or looks like it hurts.
Definitely looks like it hurts.
Everything looks like it hurts. Good, intense suplexes, you know, all that kind of thing. He wears the amateur type trunks like the Steiner brothers used to do. And I just think he's a good package. I was interested to see he came out with his manager, Jimmy C, who wound up turning on Redshaw to help Jet win win the title. I think they're going to put Jet and Nick back together under the tutelage of Jimmy. It kind of makes sense. Because, of course, as always with brothers, since the Hart Boys, they've kind of gotten together, split up, done a match, gotten back together for a while. So I think this is a back together, which I like.
I think so. Yeah, I thought this was great. I want to talk about Katie Trey for a second. I'll gush about Redshaw as well in a second. Let's gush about Katie Trey first. Last time we talked about RC Dub on Chicken Salad, I kind of talked about how I was blown away by how good Katie Trey was as someone that I hadn't seen before. And here he was in a more established spot, once again, killing it, right? He's got the gimmick down. He's intense. He's aggressive. He makes the crowd hate him so quickly while also being really good in the ring. I think he's absolutely superb. And, you know, that was a good run with that title that shows that he's got a future of carrying gold around his waist, I think. Redshaw, I'm right on the same page with you. He was up here working at Wide Bay Pro just the other week and had a fantastic big man match against Yate Stevens, who they look like the mirror image of each other. It was incredible. Same tights, same height, same build. And they just had one of the most fun hoss matches I've ever seen. He does such a good job of being that physically intimidating presence and also getting the crowd on his side when he needs to. I think that the fact that this is his first singles gold and it lasted all of 30 seconds, that's not going to be true for long.
It's smart because you always want to see the guy, you know, the
that's person. Right. The money's in the chase, right?
Money's in the chase, baby.
Redshaw having Jet turn against him, him wanting Jet, him wanting that title back that he had for 30 seconds. I think it's great booking. And I think we're going to see a lot of good stuff from Redshaw in the near future. Now, the rest of the card was tag team matches with two left. So the first one was a mixed tag match. We had Izzy Shaw and Party Guy Ty. Izzy Shaw returning in the bright flamboyant colors of Party Guy Ty. But they unfortunately could not get it done against Aaron Only and Savannah Summers. What did you think of this mixed tag there, Jeff?
I generally liked it. It was clearly a breather match between an intense angle and a main event, but they bought it. But they got the crowd on side. I think Savannah Summers, I really like Savannah Summers.
Yeah, the look, the nicknames, it's she got that character really down pat.
Yeah.
And I think that, and this is nothing against Aaron Only, I think she really showed off her strength in that mixed tag. I think that Savannah Summers was kind of the standout there.
I agree with you completely. And the thing about Savannah Summers is she's a natural baby face. Look at her. She's stunning to look at, got heaps of charisma, and yet she's turned it on a dime and made you hate her. And that's really, really good. That's excellent character work. That's someone who clearly enjoys what they do. And she can also really work a mic. Like, she's also got that charisma, got the ability to yell at the crowd and get them going. And I think I agree with you completely. She was the star because she kept the crowd involved every step of the way. By standing on the apron, the crowd were watching her. So I think, fantastic.
And look, I know that she hasn't wrestled a lot in the last few months, but Izzy Shaw coming back and being that in the kind of fun-loving gimmick with Party Guy Ty did a really good job of giving the crowd someone to rally behind so that it could make Savannah Summers be that person that you just want to see beat.
The Izzy and Party Guy Ty reminded me a lot of Chuck Mambo from Progress. Chuck Mambo work really reminded me a lot of him.
Awesome. And then, look, the bulk of this show really was the main event. So this was where we've talked about the other matches being around 9 to 10 minutes or just over. This was a 23-minute epic for the RCW Tag Team title. It was a three-way Chaos Collider ladder match. So the way this one works is it's one member of each team starts in the ring. Every 3 minutes, another wrestler gets introduced to the match. And once both members of your team are in the match, you can climb the ladder and win the title. So you end up with different teams having advantages because they got more people and they can win the title, but another team can't. Really exciting. And it was the Kings of Ruin as champions, Mike Boomer and Zach Sabbath, defending against Purgatory, which are the Weirdos, Baron and Einar the Strange with Amber. And they're up against Brady LTD, Dean Brady, Delta Brady, And the Bradys ended up getting this one, taking those titles. There was an interesting post-match bit where Purgatory started beating down Dean Brady. And we saw Matt Basso come out and kind of have a confrontation with Baron. So that looks like it's going somewhere. But man, this match, they called it chaos for a reason, right?
Oh, it was great fun. I think Purgatory are one of the most interesting acts. I really do. I think Amber is incredible at her character. Incredible at her character and not afraid to clearly take bumps. Like, she took some sick bumps.
The one that comes to mind is there was a massive high spot in the match where basically everyone is on the outside of the ring. And Mike Boomer of the Kings of Ruin did a superplex from the top rope to the outside on Amber. Onto everyone else.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's the kind of thing in a match that you'll remember that spot.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that, you know, Amber wasn't in that match. She's there as, you know, a manager and she's in there taking those huge spots. That's fantastic.
I really enjoyed this, but again, I'm a big fan of Delta. I think Delta's got so much to offer. I think the right team won.
Yeah.
Although I wouldn't have been upset had Purgatory won.
Yeah. So it was interesting. The way the ending happened is that Baron and Dean Brady were both climbing the ladder, and Zach Sabbath seemed to pull Baron down, which let Dean get the win. So there's a lot of interesting stories that they can build off this. I'll be interested to see if maybe there's a confrontation between Boomer and Sabbath, because Boomer goes, why did you let the Bradys win? We've clearly got something brewing between Purgatory, or at least Baron and Grim Basso, going on. So that's there. Obviously, whatever tag team is around will want the title off the Bradys. There's a whole lot to go off here, coming off a really exciting match.
And a great show. Like, the show flew by. Clearly, RCW are booking well. The presentation's good. I thought it zinged. You know?
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. I do quickly want to just jump on what you're saying and say that Delta's definitely got the X factor. She's going to go very far. Yeah. When the match started, and I, you know, they explained those Chaos Collider rules, I thought to myself, they'll be crazy if Delta isn't the last person to walk into this match. And she was, because the way the crowd reacts when she comes out is exactly what you expect. She's got that star power. I think we're going to see a lot from her. But I also want to mention that I think sometimes some of the spotlight gets taken off of Dean Brady because of how, you know, clearly Delta has it, but it shouldn't be, because he is a fantastic worker.
Oh, I think, you know, they both have great, great aspects to them. I mean, Delta's muscular and, yeah, just got this great, terrific package. And I think personally, she's, as you said, she's going to go far. I know she's already working with people like Renegades and MCW and things like that. So clearly, you know.
Looking at the rest of the match, Baron and Iron Out of the Strange both have such a clear, and Amber have such a clear grasp of that character and are able to deliver in ring even when they're doing the nonsense spooky gimmick, which doesn't always translate. Yep. And then Zach Sabbath has got a little bit of that, you know, dark stuff going on, but still works as a fiery babyface or as the heel. I think Mike Boomer is maybe one of the most underrated people on this card. I think that he's got so much of that, you know, great underdog energy. I thought this match was a great cap off to a really fantastic show. And the fact that you can get this whole show free on YouTube is nuts.
Check it out. We'll put the YouTube link somewhere in the bio for this, so you can check it out. Just click on the link, sit down on a night that you've got nothing planned, and 2 hours later you're going to go, well, that was worth it and entertaining. I agree completely. Great.
Yeah, I had a lazy Sunday morning and watched a great wrestling show. It's hard to argue with that.
Yep.
Now, look, one of the things that I find with this show is we often don't get to talk about Queensland wrestling very much even though, you know, Todd and I are here because that's what we love. But, you know, with Todd working on basically every show around, we don't want to, you know, be just plugging stuff that we're working on. But since Todd's not here, I'm going to really quickly recap the show that we had this past Sunday night, which was Pro Wrestling League's This Means War. I thought it was a really fun show. I think Pro Wrestling League is one of the premier promotions in Australia at the moment. I know that there's a lot of competition there, and there seems to be, you know, a couple of really big promotions in every state. PWL is the best Queensland has to offer right now.
You speak volumes about it. Sadly, it's not something that I've yet been able to get my eyeballs across, but I'm sure that will change in the next few weeks.
Yeah, so let me quickly run through what was on this card. So the opening match was Matt Hayter versus Outback Adam. Matt Hayter doing the classic heel Matt Hayter thing. And Outback Adam is, he's got basically a Steve Irwin Wildlife Warrior gimmick. He comes out in the car key. You know, he's constantly shouting crikey and talking about what a specimen his opponent is. He came out with a couple of trainees who were his Joeys who were in the car key. And he's got his inflatable crocodile pool toy named Steve the Croc that accompanies him to the ring. And it was just really clearly Hayter wanted to be taken seriously and wanted to prove that Outback Adam was an idiot, but Adam can go and he's a fiery baby face. And it was just everything you wanted from that kind of match. Super fun.
Mate, that sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, everything said and done, Hayter can work comedy brilliantly. Oh, yeah. Brilliantly. Awesome. And that sounds like a good comedy match and a great opener.
Especially as a straight man. You know what I mean? When he's the guy going, no, I'm the best. I'm a show off. Let me show you how good I am. And someone's there going, oh, look at his tush. You know, it really works to to make it so much fun. I think the reason this match got put together is that Outback Adam has been basically touring the country, getting as much training from as many smart minds as possible. And I know for a fact that he did some work with Matt Hayter recently. So I would not be surprised if it turns out that Matt Hayter has come up specifically to work with Adam on that.
I think they were both at the EPW camp recently, so that's probably
where they were both there. And I also believe that Adam went down to South Australia and did some work with Hayter and with AJ Estrella, who was also on the show. So he's been working hard, and I think there's been, you know, no, we have a lot of idea that some people are the gimmick and some people are the worker. And for a long time, I think Adam's been seen as the gimmick, and he is showing now that he is one hell of a worker under that really fun gimmick. So keep an eye out, because he's one of those guys that's going to suddenly pop up in a lot of promotions and people are going to love watching him.
Well, I sort of saw him on a Wide Bay Pro show that Todd said, and he certainly stood out, both as a character and also as a guy who could, you know, who could bring it. It wasn't a long match, but it was very entertaining.
Yeah, and he's great at getting the crowd on his side and then showing what he's got in the ring. Absolutely excellent.
And by the way, when he turns heel, it's going to be awesome.
Oh, it's going to be incredible. We've made pictures to him on wearing crocodile skin shoes to the ring and stuff like that. There's so much potential there. Anyway, moving on from that, we had a couple of the younger guys with Jack Tarr beating James Yeager. James Yeager's a fun character who's, you know, a party boy. He's the party pit bull. He weighs in at 21 standard drinks, you know, a classic. And his opponent was Jack Tarr, who is trying to convince everyone to join the Navy at the moment. Jack Tarr looks like a real-life Popeye, genuinely was in the Navy and claims to be Queensland's last battleship. And he is, if they keep building him to be the beast that he looks like, he is going to go far up here.
Oh, fantastic.
Then we had an awesome tag team match. Now, Jeff, have you got a chance to see Broday work yet?
I don't think I have.
Broday are another one of those acts that have started working more and more places. I know up in North Queensland, they both work independently, Trent O'Day and Gabriel Zaya, but that's not Broday. That's Trent O'Day and Gabriel Zaya, but there's another version of them from the multiverse that travel to different universes, and they have come to our universe to prove that they are the best wrestlers around. and they had a match against Strong 94, Lynxie and Renegade, who are just a great, fun couple of guys who, you know, are there because they're good wrestlers, but they also have a really fun side to them. And they put on a great match where Brodey are using their time travel gauntlets to power up their punches and all sorts of nonsense. I'd never seen Brodey work heel before. I've only ever seen Brodey as faces, and they, you know, absolutely get the crowd behind them immediately and are so much fun. And then they came out and just immediately got the crowd on the wrong side.
Great.
So quickly, I couldn't believe it. I had no idea how they were going to work heel, and they just immediately did. Really huge potential in those guys. I think, you know, we'll be seeing them everywhere very soon.
That's great. I was about to ask you if it was face versus face, but clearly not.
Well, I was sure it was going to be, and then all of a sudden Brodey come out, and I don't know how they did it, but from the second they came out, it must have just been that they had their cocky faces on and everyone started booing. Absolutely superb. Then going into the break, there was a no DQ match between Lucille Brawl and Kyla Knight, which it's always fun to get to see a women's match on a show, because unfortunately there's not that many women working around, you know, Queensland especially. There's definitely more in some of the other states. We've got some incredible women's workers there, but when you're in a state that's only got a couple, and it means that they've only got a couple of other women's workers to practice against,
yeah,
it means that sometimes, you know, you don't get the match quality that you would see from a Jessica Troy or a Kellyanne or those types of people who have had.
Well, yeah, I mean, Kellyanne's now retired, but yeah, Jess, yeah, Troy, Delta, even Aisha is coming up.
And even if you look over at Perth, people like Edith Knight, you know, who
Edith is great. And also it would be remiss not to mention how good Kingsley is right now. Her work is fantastic.
She absolutely gets the character, doesn't she?
It starts with the character, but in-ring as well, she's just switched. So good.
So good. So it is really good seeing the women's work across the country just continue to grow. I think that, like I said, Lucille and Kyla have not had as much in-ring practice against as many people as those other women have. So
yeah,
I think they did a really good job of using a no DQ stipulation to their advantage. Crowd went absolutely nuts for a huge table powerbomb at the end that got Lucille Brawl the win. And this is a culmination to a story that I'm not quite sure where it's going. Kyla, it's really, Lucille Brawl's got a superhero gimmick, and they've really been working the comic book storyline here where Sorrow, who is, you know, your classic face-painted evil dude, has this weird briefcase that he shone in. He opened it up and there was just light coming from it, and it shone in Lucille Brawl's eyes. And now it seems like maybe he can psychically control her, because she was going to hit him with a bit of table and then he stopped her. So that's going in some directions. And
yeah,
I love when you go to a wrestling show and you see some fun matches, some kooky stuff, and then there's also some, you know, really solid wrestling there. Speaking of which, the match after that, we had Solomon Blackwell and Rufio. Rufio's a guy who went over to the UK over the past few years, but he's back in Queensland now. And Solomon Blackwell is one of Todd's guys in top tier. Solomon actually trained over at EPW, and he's got that Davis Storm style about him. He is so cool, and walks to the ring with that quiet swagger, and he knows how good he is. And then he gets in and he just starts laying in. Rufio, on the other hand, is all energy all the time. And it led to one of the better matches I've ever seen in person. It was really, really spectacular.
Nice.
Unfortunately, Solomon Blackwell appeared to potentially crack a rib towards the end there. So the ending sequence was a little bit not as strong as the rest of the match, which is so disappointing, because clearly the crowd were just completely invested in it. It was really, really great to watch. And I wish, I really hope we get to see it again, honestly, because that match was excellent.
I have heard of both of those workers. So clearly word is getting around about how good they are. So it can only be a matter of time till PWI use them or they use down here. Really.
And honestly, Solomon Blackwell, I don't think his match count is in the two digits yet. He is insanely good for how fresh he is. I think part of that is that Davis Storm may have been keeping him out of the ring until he was right on top of his game. Because by the time he got here, he was ready to go.
Davis is a very, very smart man, and he knows exactly what to do and how to play things.
And Blackwell, I think that I've seen every Solomon Blackwell match in person, which is a very cool thing to be able to say. And man, he can go. He is going to be, once he gets those other matches under his belt and people start seeing him work, he's going to go places. Look, like I said, you know, you've got a little bit of everything on this show. So we also had a big hoss match with two of our big boys. So Yeet Stevens is one of the great faces here. His name's Yeet. He likes to throw people. It's awesome fun. And he was up against Rip Riley, the monster. Rip is well known, if not around Australia, definitely in Queensland, as someone who just works and works and works and works. A great big man, has a lot of good hardcore stuff in his back catalogue. And these two just beat the tire out of each other. They are an absolutely great combination of workers who've done a lot of work together. I think Rip is definitely Yeet's best opponent. He gets something out of Yeet that is special, I think, in these big man matches. And it didn't go long, but it was so hard hitting, really cool to watch. And that led into the main event, which was Eastman's boys top tier. So this is Mitch Ryder, the heavyweight champion in PWL, and the Crusader Tim Hayden up against the Nightmare Assassin squad. So this is AJ Istria, who I think at this point everyone knows AJ Istria, a staple down in Wrestle Rampage, held the Australian National Championship there. And he was with Soul, who's a guy who hasn't worked in quite a long time now, but is, if you go back through Queensland wrestling history, was in that Nightmare Assassin squad team with Istria and with Smash Face Mitch McCarthy. And it was incredible how good Soul still was after some time out of the ring. Really shockingly good. Still pulling off those high-flying moves and those really sharp kicks. It was the kind of main event you expect when Todd is managing a team. So there was refs pulled out of the ring and, you know, cheap shots by distracting the referee from Todd and all of that stuff. And it was just exactly what you want from a big tag team main event all-out war. Look, overall, I thought this show was really fantastic. It really shows that Queensland wrestling is not the... It used to be that people thought of Queensland as the bottom state because there's kind of no wrestling in the Northern Territory. And we don't really hear about Tasmania as much. But you've got Queensland is the bottom of the ladder. And then you've got the other states. And I think this show is evidence that it's not that way anymore.
Well, in that case, right, I challenge you to get me the show so I can have a bloody look at it because it sounds great.
I will bring you up, but even better, look, if you are interested in seeing one of these PWL shows, if you head over to the Australian Wrestling Network, you can get a subscription there for like $8 a month. That's going to have the PWL shows on it. So it's got the last show, Back to Attack, which had the main event of AJ Istria versus Mitch Ryder for the first champion for PWL. And that match was exactly what you expect between two really good technical wrestlers who are hard-hitting.
And while you're talking about it, that Australian Wrestling Network's got EPW, it's got early MCW, it's got so much
stuff. It's got Wrestle Rock. It's got, you know, so much stuff. And there's weird stuff on there as well. There's like some CZW bits that go up there as well. Like, if you are interested in watching Australian wrestling, I highly recommend Australian Wrestling Network. Give it a Google, or I think it's awn.pivotshare.com. Search for it. It's got so much good stuff on there. You will have an absolutely great time. And I highly, highly recommend seeing the stuff that's going on in Queensland wrestling right now.
And I will say it's worth more than your $8 a month. Like, $8 a month is nothing for the amount of content you get in that network. It's just terrific.
And you know, that's the thing. We are here because we love Aussie wrestling. Like, that's what's brought us into doing this podcast and promoting these shows, because they are so much fun. So, look, quick call to action before we do anything else. Number one, try and catch as much of that stuff online as you can with things like the Australian Wrestling Network, or finding the streams for MC Dub or for EP Dub or for PWA or wherever it is. That
don't forget Renegades. Renegades is part of your Fight TV Plus subscription, so you can just get that. And I think that's about $7 a month, $8 a month as well.
There are so many great Australian wrestling companies putting their stuff online that you can easily go and watch. You know, like we were just saying, go find RCW for free on YouTube. You know what I mean? There is so much good Aussie wrestling. And not only that, find a show near you, because there will be one. There'll be a show near you and it'll be a ton of fun. Go check out some local Aussie wrestling and have an absolute blast. And
well, I tell you what, because you've said that, what I'm going to do through the show is, at the end of the show, I'll bring people up to speed, because Melbourne, we've got three big events coming up. I'll tell people the cards as far as I know them, as they're announced now, and also where you can see them and where tickets are available. So, you know, come on and go and see it live, because there's nothing like seeing live wrestling.
See it live. And look, if you want to keep up with stuff going on in Australian wrestling, you should let us know what you're thinking of it. So follow us at Wrestle Radio AU on Twitter and Instagram. Go to Facebook, search for Wrestle Radio Australia, find us there, hit that follow button. Let us know what you want us to talk about. Let us know what you think of the shows. We will be back to talk about what's going on in the international world of wrestling right after this.
The Bro Day Pod.
You know who else is that guy?
Oh.
You know what that guy does? That guy sits in the middle and uses both armrests.
Oh,
full
bro.
Spread. Full spread. That's that guy.
Okay.
That's that guy.
Right. If you take a plane, right? If you're in a plane, don't take a plane. If you're in a plane.
Yeah, don't take a plane. Bro,
and you're in the middle and you use both. You are scum. You are scum. You don't get those armrests. Wait.
Come on. Come on. I'm well with you. Wait, what?
No, the middle guy definitely gets those armrests.
Both of them?
Yes.
Full spread?
Yes.
I don't know, man.
No, okay, sorry. No, because I saw a meme about this. I retract everything I just said. I'm flopping right now.
Follow Bro Day No Plan B podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, or anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Making Chicken Salad. We've got a lot to talk about coming from around the world of wrestling. Let's start with the big boys in WWE. Since last time we recorded, we talked about SummerSlam and Triple H being back in charge, and that resulted in not only some very interesting things starting to happen, but also some returns. And we've seen even more of that. We've had Karrion Kross and Scarlett return to the main event on SmackDown. We've had Dexter Lumis waiting in a crowd trying to ambush. And on top of that, just on this past week of SmackDown, Hit Row has returned, of course, without Shane Strickland, who is over on AEW, but the rest of that crew is back in WWE. So, Jeff, I've got a couple of things to ask you here. First off, what do you think of the talent that's been brought back into the WWE since Triple H has taken charge?
I don't think there's many surprises. And I'm saying that because most of the people he's brought back have been highlighted heavily on NXT. I mean, Dakota coming back is great. As an Australian, it's great to see someone from our part of the world come back, and someone who really gets her character well. So suited for the role with EO and Bayley. It's wonderful, wonderful stuff to see. Karrion Kross and Scarlett offered so much potential, and then whatever the fuck they did with Karrion Kross when he hit the main roster was just ridiculous. Hit Row, fast, exciting, good tag team. Triple H clearly loves tag team wrestling, and he wants to start to highlight it, and you can see that by the fact that the Usos are everywhere, and also the War Machine, Viking Raiders are back and doing stuff. I love the name War Machine. I'm so upset
it's
that
a
they
classic can't. Tag team name, and the fact that the Viking Raiders are set to do a Viking funeral for the New Day. Right. So, like, even though we're still getting those silly segments that are like classic WWE Vince is doing some nonsense, it's putting over groups that really deserve to be there. Like a hard-hitting tag team like Viking Raiders / War Machine, like they deserve to have that spotlight on them, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I was very frustrated with their runs on events, and I think they're going to be something under Trips. The only one I'm not sold on coming back is Dexter Lumis. And I don't think I'm alone in that. I think there's a bit of, yeah, I can see the others, but Dexter Lumis? But it remains to be seen how he's used. I'm one of these people who believe anyone can be hot at any time. It just depends on how they're used. In 1995 or 1994, if you'd have said to me, hey, the guy who's the ringmaster is going to be the biggest selling guy and the biggest megastar of wrestling in history, I would have gone, the hell? But guess what? I'd have been wrong. He is Stone Cold, still amazing. So, you know.
Yeah, what legacy did you think the Hollywood Blondes were going to hold?
Exactly. Exactly. you know, so I'm willing to play it out and see how it goes, as they say.
For me, I think Dexter Lumis, I don't know if that gimmick is going to be something that sticks around. That serial killer gimmick, I think, is fun. I enjoy watching it. I don't know if it's going to be something that we see for a long time. But when someone has the look and the in-ring style of Dexter Lumis, they're a WWE fit, as far as I'm concerned, right?
I agree with you. The only thing I'm going to say about Dexter Lumis, and this is because I like the work they were doing together, is I would have liked to have seen Indy and Dexter reunited on NXT more than
Yeah, but mostly I want to see Indy on the main roster winning women's titles. You know what I mean? And that's because, like, we're wrestling fans and we like Indy, right?
It's what we were talking about in our break, that we like our homegrown people, and Indy's one of our people. And she's a great worker. So, yeah, I kind of agree with you. But saying all of that, I really want to see them together again, because I think that, and even if she comes up to the main roster on her first night, he comes out and gives her a big hug, I think the crowd will pop for that. And I think that'll be
Oh, great. Yeah. Look, Hit Row's definitely an interesting one for me, because I think that when Hit Row started, the appeal for me was very much in Shane Strickland.
Oh, yeah.
He's someone that I've loved for a long time. I've made no secret of my Lucha Underground fandom, and his work as Killshot on that was incredible.
Yeah, very good.
So Hit Row without Shane Strickland is a very different beast, and I'm really interested to see where it goes, but I think that it's exactly the kind of gimmick that WWE have thrived on, because when you have a show the size of WWE, you need, like I was talking about with PWL, you need a variety of acts. You need things that are going to seem different. Like, you're not just watching a wrestling match, then a wrestling match, then a wrestling match, and then another wrestling match. And Hit Row's going to come out and they're going to do a hip hop thing, and it's going to be a big group mess, chaos, fun. And then after that, you have Dexter Lumis dismantle someone. And then after that, you have a great wrestling match, right? So I think Hit Row are a great flavor that fits in WWE.
I think you're right. And I like to remind people of the fact when the Sheepherders went to the WWF, they became the Bushwhackers. The Sheepherders were one of the most respected tag teams in the world. And the Bushwhackers.
So violent.
And they were so violent and bloody good, you know. So I think that Hit Row will be great. And I love what they're doing with Swerve Strickland in AEW with Keith Lee. So I think it remains to be seen how, yeah, again, it's let's play it out and see where it goes.
Yeah, and then speaking of this, you know, post-Triple H WWE landscape, there's a lot of really good stuff. I know that, you know, Todd was recently just talking to us about Charlie Dempsey in NXT UK, who's William Regal's son, and the great work that he's doing. Mm. So, and one of the things that we brought up there was that, well, Triple H has been running NXT UK for a long time, and it's been really, really good. How has the week-to-week quality of WWE hit you since we've seen this change?
Oh, definitely a stronger in-ring focus. There's less backstage interviews, and they kind of consolidate them. So the interviewer will pass one person and talk to them, and then pass someone else and talk to them while he's walking through the hall or she's walking through the hall. I think that's great. I think it cuts down on on BS time. The talent they're pushing, definitely more Triple H aligned than Vince aligned. Haven't seen Austin Theory, but Kofi's getting a spot, which is wonderful to see Kofi getting a spot. Ziggler's out there, but principally we're seeing Ciampa, we're seeing Ricochet, we're seeing these guys that Triple H has kind of molded and looked at, even McIntyre, you know, so the guys that he's kind of molded.
And for instance, we saw that showcase between Gunther and Shinsuke Nakamura for the Intercontinental title match,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we saw that just this weekend. Fantastic match. It's weird to see Ilya accompanying Volta or Gunther to the ring because it's like, holy shit, you guys were enemies and had a great series of matches just a year ago or 2 years ago, within the last 2 years. So I think that it's interesting to see the talent that are getting pushed, and it's a lot more about what's happening in ring. The reason that Bayley is targeting Bianca and Becky is because she's always wanted the belts, and her backup are targeting Alexa and Asuka. So Alexa and Asuka come out and interrupt on behalf of Bianca. It all makes sense again. It's not just, hang on, why is this guy here? And I really like wrestling that makes sense. I know it's a suspension of disbelief, but it's got to kind of make sense in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, so let's put WWE to one side and let's talk about AEW, because in the last couple of weeks, there has been a whole lot of stuff. A couple of big shows. Let's start by talking about Battle of the Belts 3, where we had 3 title matches, all of them with the champions retaining. Wardlow defeating Jay Lethal for the TNT title, Thunder Rosa beating Jamie Hayter for the AEW Women's title, and Claudio Castagnoli beating Konosuke Takeshita for the Ring of Honor World title. Now, talk about what you want to talk about from there, Jeff.
Look, I don't think there were any surprise in the results, but it was a fun show. The ROH title match was just fantastic. Actually, all 3 matches were good. Jay Lethal can go. He knows what to do. He got Wardlow over. They teased Wardlow putting the giant through a table, which is a lot of fun. So I think we'll see. That'll be teased for a long time, and we'll finally see it at some point. And, you know, the Thunder Rosa match was solid. Jamie Hayter is a great worker. And so it was a solid show.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we talked earlier about Claudio and Takeshita and mentioned Takeshita leaving the US, heading back to Japan, and his just amazing run he had while he was over in the US. Just seemed like every match was a classic. He is going to be the future of, you know, all of us guys who focus on that real high quality ring work. He's going to be a focus of that for years to come, I think. He is absolutely superb. I really hope that we do see a lot more of him very soon.
You know how they New Japan build someone for about 4 years and then give him the title? I reckon within 10 years, that will be Takeshita.
Yeah.
Because he's still very young.
Very young. He can be the guy on top of the mountain for sure.
He could be so easily.
I wonder whether Wardlow needs the TNT title for what he's doing. I understand that they're building him as a fairly young guy, and I also know that they have a whole lot of titles to spread around, so pretty much everyone can have one. But I wonder if Wardlow can have these feuds without the belt.
I think Wardlow should hold the Trios belt by himself.
That'd be fun.
That would be a lot of fun. But in all seriousness, I'm fine with it because it's not him winning or holding it. It's how he loses, and specifically who he loses it to.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, talking about the Trios titles there, let's take a quick diversion because the tournament bracket for the Trios titles in AEW has been announced. On the left side, we've got Death Triangle versus United Empire, represented by Aussie Open and Will Ospreay. And as well on that side is La Facción Ingobernable, which is Andrade El Idolo, Rush, and Dragon Lee versus the Young Bucks and whoever they have as their third man. And on the other side of the tournament, we've got House of Black versus Dark Order and the Trustbusters versus the Best Friends. For me, the left side of this tournament is so much more stacked than the right side. And I personally would have loved if they'd mixed it up a little bit more.
I think that putting Death Triangle against against United Empire in the first round is a little bit of a disappointment. I would have liked that to have been postponed.
I messaged you and Todd as soon as that got announced and said, immediately disappointed that that wasn't the final.
Yeah.
Because I don't know which way they're going with it. My guess is that I don't even have a guess at this point. Because anytime I think it'll go one way, I'll go, no, they won't have those guys lose.
I pick the final to be Young Bucks and a third against House of Black.
Yeah, that's also my prediction, which, look, I'm finding having Trustbusters versus Best Friends as a first round match to me is very nothing. I love the Best Friends. They're awesome fun. And Trustbusters are a team where we talked about, I know you and I and Todd have talked a little bit previously about Parker Bordeaux maybe not living up to our expectations. And sure. It seems like he is maybe the linchpin of the Trustbusters as a team. And they're a team that I think so far has only really been showcased on Dark, not someone that the main audience is going to be familiar with. I have to assume, I assume that the Best Friends get the win there, but at the same time, they're building up Bordeaux. So I don't know
what happens. I would go with Best Friends and Orange, because obviously it's going to be Orange who's part of that trio. Unless it's Danhausen. If it's Danhausen, forget it. If it's Orange, then I think Orange will win because it's time for Orange to win, and Orange will line up better against House of Black.
Yeah, I definitely agree that I think Young Bucks and their third man are going to take it to the top. It seems like maybe we're hinting towards that third man being a returning Kenny Omega.
I would agree.
Which... If Kenny Omega's there, they kind of have to make it to the finals, right?
Yeah.
Just quickly, and I know this is a detour off a detour, but with Kenny Omega potentially returning, we saw tweets recently from, of course, his former Golden Lovers tag team partner. Now that Kota Ibushi is seemingly no longer working with New Japan, he's talking about potentially coming over and doing some work with AEW and hinting that there might be a bit of a Golden Lovers reunion there. That is something that I would absolutely flip out for.
Sorry, I just messed myself.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Jeff. I'm really interested to see where that goes, because Ibushi's in such a weird place at the moment after, you know, going on Twitter and talking about Yakuza ties to New Japan, that if we think back to when AEW formed, there was that question of why he wasn't invited over, and it seemed like Kenny Omega was kind of saying it's his time to be on the top of the mountain in New Japan, which I fully agreed with, but now might be the time for his US moment.
I think that the year that he's not been around is worse for in-ring, because he is such an incredible performer. I've never seen Kota Ibushi have a bad match. Saying that, Kota is nuts. Like, let's not kid ourselves. He's completely loopy. He's out to lunch. I hope that he does go to AEW, and I hope that he finds happiness and peace and becomes the performer that we all know he could be. I know that Omega cannot continue wrestling the style he has been. I can see Kenny and the Bucks winning the Trios title, holding it for a few months, losing it, and then Kenny and Ibushi becoming the Golden Lovers and being another amazing tag team, which, fuck.
And look,
we don't need another one, but let's bring it on.
If it is Omega and the Bucks, and then for some reason they lose the Trios belt and the Bucks turn on Omega and he has to rely on Ibushi and we get Golden Lovers versus Bucks out of it. And then we can eventually see Golden Lovers versus their arch nemesis, their own necks, They hate their own necks so much.
Yep.
But anyway, so yeah, I do think it is Young Bucks and Omega, which means that I think they go over La Fashion, which saddens me a lot because, man, like, this is what I'm saying. That left side of the bracket.
God, it's nuts.
The left side of the bracket should be the quarterfinals, as far as I'm concerned. Death Triangle, United Empire, La Faction, and Young Bucks with potentially Omega. And then on the other side, I really like Dark Order. I want to see them do well, but they've got to lose and climb the mountain.
They're not going to beat the House of Black. It's just
not beating House of Black. House of Black are great, and, you know, I love all three of those guys, but not as much as, I guess, most of the other side of the tournament. Trustbusters and Best Friends, I don't really care that much about. I love Danhausen. I love Orange Cassidy.
We've kind of covered it. And Trent and I was going to say Dustin, but Trent and Chucky T, they can go. They're still a great tag team, but they're not a winning tag team. They're not going to win.
No.
Who is going to win? Who do you think is going to win between Death Triangle and United Empire? That's...
I think it's United Empire. And the reason that I'm putting my flag in the ground there is because I think Death Triangle are marketable no matter what. And I think they have a claim to the trio's title no matter what. You knock them out in the first round, you can bring them back in a trio's title match in 2 months' time and no one will question it.
I've got the same answer, but for a different reason. I think if I was booking, Ospreay would pee in Park and say, I've got the right to challenge you for that Atlantic title anywhere in the world. Let's go. And everyone would go, shut up and take my money. Because you would. Park versus Ospreay, fucking shut up and take my money. So I think you're right, but I think it's done for that reason, but also everything you said as well. And then
can we please have Aussie Open saying to Lucha Brothers, we beat you, and Lucha Brothers saying, you never beat us.
Yep.
And we get Aussie Open versus Lucha Brothers as well. Yep. Oof.
Yeah, I know. This is just, I think, yes, the second half of the tournament is a little bit lackluster, but I think the strength of that first half completely makes up.
I'm going to disagree. I think the second half of the tournament is fine. I think the first half of the tournament is so stellar that it's ridiculous, is the problem, right? It's just not even. If you had a tournament that looked like the second half of that tournament, everyone would love it. The problem is that the first half of that tournament is one of the most insane trios tournaments you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy anyway. I do think AEW currently have too many belts, but I'm happy anyway. I think it's fine. There is something you didn't actually put down in the run sheet for AEW, but that's all right. We'll get to it.
All right. Well, let's talk about the results from Quake by the Lake.
Sure.
Because apparently every AEW show needs a name. We had Darby Allin beat Brody King in a coffin match. We had Jade Cargill.
I was going to say that was a fantastic match. What an opener. What an opener.
I think that for me, Brody King is so good.
He's literally on
great stuff.
Sorry, I was going to say he's literally written the next 10 years of his career right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude's amazing. We had Jade Cargill beat Madison Rain for the TBS title, who apparently can still work.
It was fine. I think they should have built Madison more.
Yeah, definitely. It's weird it being 2022 and seeing Madison Rain in a title match.
Yep.
You know, but that led to, of course, Athena showing up and staking her claim for that title against Jade, which I'm a little disappointed in, because Athena is the person that I want to take that title from Jade, and I think it is too early in Jade's run for it to happen.
I agree with you. I think that Athena should lose because Chris Statlander interferes and becomes a complete bitch.
Yeah.
Like an absolute out for herself bitch. I don't want you to take the title off her. I want to take the title off her. She's already beaten me. You've come here. You've just walked into this shot. You've done nothing of note. I've been here since day one, you know, all that stuff.
You know, the problem with that, Jeff, is it'd mean that AEW would need to have two women's feuds going on at once. And there's only one piss break spot. So I don't know what you want them to do there, mate. But we finished the show with John Moxley beating Jericho to retain the interim AEW World title so that he can go on to face CM Punk at All Out.
The returning CM Punk. In what was brilliant, because I didn't see it coming.
No, well, look, we talked about who potentially could show up for All Out to be that title challenger, because it felt like if it wasn't Punk, there was no one, and it had to be. And he did come back. Look, there are some reports that he potentially hurt himself on the return, which just devastating. If it doesn't go ahead, I don't know what happens.
If it doesn't go ahead, I think it's pretty much got to be Hangman, which is why they didn't put him in the Trios tournament.
Yep. Yeah, I think you're probably exactly right there. But then if it is Hangman, I mean, you can't really have him win, but you also don't want him to lose because you want to be able to build up the Hangman Punk match, right?
Yeah, but if Punk hurt himself and it's a minor thing, then he can probably do a run-in during the match and cause a schmoz and make it a happy schmoz, like make it fine. And I want Punk to come back as a heel. I don't want to see him as a face anymore. I think the audience are going to turn on him eventually anyway.
Yep.
So I think it's time Tony Khan actually made him a heel.
Well, let's let's talk about Mox quickly, because AEW is not the only place that he is working. Mox is over the champion over in GCW, and he just beat Effie for the title, and Nick Gage came out to challenge him, and Mox accepted on the condition that it is a title versus career match.
Mm.
What do you think of Gage putting his career on the line for Mox's title?
I think a very, very interesting move. On the surface, underneath, I mean, you can't wrestle the style that Nick Gage has been wrestling for as long as he has forever. He clearly needs some time away. He needs a bit of a break. You know, he might go on a tour. We might see him on our shores. But I think it's time that he step away and sort of rehabilitate his body a little bit and look after himself. Saying that, it's going to be a great match. It's going to be a lot of fun.
See, I've got a totally different thought to you, Jeff. I think there's no way Gage loses this one. I think Gage is putting himself back on top of GCW. Mox has a busy schedule with AEW. He's bleeding a lot, and you can only do so much at once. And if he is going to, you know, be part of this unified title scene, I don't necessarily know that AEW wants him over there in GCW losing matches, but I think that they will accept it if it's Gage's career on the line, and that's the reason Gage can get it over the line, is he's got all that heart to retain his livelihood.
Sure.
I think Gage goes over.
Okay. I think that's kind of interesting. I think, you know, it just remains to be seen who. It could be either of them. There's a reasonable case for both, if you like.
Yeah, look, I think that maybe Nick Gage should lose, but I think the man's got more guts than organs at this point. So that's just where I'm at. Now, is there anything else before we get on to chicken salad and chicken shit that we didn't cover there, Jeff? Other than
there's some local stuff.
Promoting the local stuff.
Which will be which is really, really exciting. Let's start with MCW Horizons, which is on the 10th of September. Is it Horizons or New Horizons? I'm sorry, just MCW Horizons. We know at the end of the Rumble that Buddy had won the Rumble and had a bit of a face-off with Mitch. That's an interesting direction. Will we see Buddy at the next show on September 10? Exactly what the card is, we don't really know yet. So there's going to be a lot of speculation, a lot of possibilities with that. Jess Troy, of course, has the women's title. She's been holding on to that with an iron grasp. So who knows? He fought Delta in a banger at the last show. So, you know, it could go a lot of ways. That is on September 10. On September 3, we have Renegades crowning a champion. And we've got Aisha versus Tali, with the winner meeting Shazza in the final. Rat Daddy versus Hayter, and Diamond versus Hendrix. And the winner of those two will face off for the men's title. I don't know who's going to win either of those matches. It could go, there's a case for both.
Which is what you want going into these shows. You want to not know what's going to happen.
Oh, absolutely. And there's still some incredible talent running around that haven't yet been announced. So that's on September 3. I should add that you can get tickets to the MCW show from Melbourne, mcdwrestling.com.au, and the Renegades show from renegadesofwrestling.com. And of course, PCW have an event next weekend. That's the 27th, where Tricky versus Johnny Della Rosa, JJ Ferner versus Cass Stone. That's my tip for a sleeper match. That's going to be fantastic. They're both great. Jarvis versus Wake. Jarvis's heel work is amazing. Murdoch versus George Kendo. Murdoch recently celebrated 6 years in wrestling. Happy birthday, Murdoch. Robbie Thorpe versus Barry O'Leary. Barry has the most punchable face in professional wrestling anyway. And Robbie has a huge upside. He's a big lad. He's got a lot of potential. And finally, for the title, Tommy Hellfire versus Ryan Rapid. That's on the 27th. And
classic matchup.
Yeah, there's some great matches there. You can get tickets from pcw.com.au. Look, if you're in Melbourne, three great weekends of shows, check them out. I mean, you know, I'm going to be at least one or two of those. So, you know, come and say hi. But, yeah, great stuff. And obviously there's more happening up in your area as well, Locke.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I don't have it in front of me. I was really hyped for that PWL show, so that's kind of spent me on wrestling for a bit. But keep an ear out, because we'll keep you updated up here in Queensland as to what's going on as well. Look, let's jump into the segment that we are named for, Chicken Salad and Chicken Shit. I'll start with my chicken shit for the week, and it's all going to be on the most recent AEW Rampage. We've talked... Have I stolen your shit?
Yeah, you've stolen my shit.
Well, I've got a couple from the show, so you take it away. You take your shit, and I'll fill in whatever you don't say.
I'm not talking about the most recent Rampage. I'm talking about Rampage in general. It is lackluster. It is clumsy. I do not care about it anymore. And considering this is the show that CM Punk came out and opened for the first time in a wrestling ring, in a professional wrestling ring, not associated with a television show, like Heels or whatever that WWE thing was a few years ago, in 7 years, I'm absolutely flummoxed and sad that this has happened to Rampage. I don't care about the Trustbusters. I don't care about Sunny Kiss, because they haven't made me care about them. It's basically a AEW Elevation 2.0. Tony, make me care. Give me a reason to care, and I'll
preach it, Seti. Preach it. Look, here's my chicken shit from Rampage. Let's talk about Sunny Kiss, someone who I have absolutely loved the work of for years, going back to Exolicious and all that stuff, doing amazing, amazing work, being a really interesting character, bringing themselves in a way that a lot of wrestlers just can't, and they get a 1 minute squash match, and then they join the Trustbusters after Parker Bordeaux shows that he's not as good as everyone thought he might be. Whoop-de-freaking-do. I want to love it. I want to, but it's not good. And then on top of that, they're going to continue shoving Sammy and Tay down our throats in mixed tag bullshit. Sorry for the language. I'm sick of it, right? And then that's where my chicken shit is, but I look at the rest of the card, and it doesn't get any better, because you've got Orange Cassidy and Ari Daivari. Which is like, why are you making me watch? It feels like something where I should be watching it back in Chikara with OC under the Soldier Ant mask, right? Like it doesn't feel like something that should be on TV in 2022. And on top of that, now we're teaming up Danhausen and Eric Redbeard? Why? It makes no sense to me. Just put on a good wrestling show. You've got an entire massive roster that you're seemingly not doing anything with, and you can't put on a good freaking wrestling show.
I mean, Hawkhausen were great and over, and everyone loved them. And now they've just pivoted. I mean, I get that Hook has the FCW title, which is beautiful, and I'm all about that. But why the pivot?
Yep. And, like, I love Danhausen, right? And he is funny. He's good in the ring, but that's not his strength.
No.
Let's work to his strength and not put him with someone like Eric Redbeard, who I don't know how many strengths he does have. He's not terrible.
No, he's not. I think they've hired him for all the right reasons. In a sweet,
that's right. Absolutely.
No criticism of the hiring of Eric Redbeard. I think Eric Redbeard could be a guy who stands in a corner for. So if you want to make Eric Redbeard a heel, I'd be all about it. As you know, what was his name? You know, like Meng used to be for Colonel Robert Parker, the dark sunglasses and stuff. Meng was Haku. I don't know if you know. You might be too young, Locke. But, but you know, if you want to make him a bodyguard.
This is right before he ripped someone's eyeball out, right?
That's it. Yeah, well done. They might make him a bodyguard or have some fun with that. But I don't want to see him teamed up with Danhausen because I don't think the comedy is there. The comedy is there with Hook because Hook is silent but violent and dangerous. And Danhausen is a nutbag, and a lovable nutbag. If you haven't seen, by the way, this is not much you can sell it, but if you haven't seen Danhausen making CM Punk buy about $200,000 worth of comics, it is absolutely hilarious. It's doing the rounds on Twitter. It's on YouTube. CM Punk's face, he's just got that character nailed down 100% perfectly. And it might even be that first hint that, hey, CM Punk's going to beat the shit out of Danhausen, and that will turn the crowd on him.
Oh, yeah. That's money right there.
Yeah.
Look, all right, let's jump into what we did like. I'm going to throw a couple in before I do like my quote-unquote real one.
Yep.
First off, I'm just going to put over seeing local wrestling, right? I am so high on watching wrestling after seeing that PWL show the other night. Go check out local wrestling. That's chicken salad for you. Number two, I went and watched my favorite match of all time again just recently. It's a comfort thing for me. And every so often when work gets real stressful, I'll come home and I'll put on Manami Toyota versus Akira Hakuto from Destiny 95.
You lied to me. You said your favorite match was Alicia Fox versus Melina. What are you telling me, Locke?
Look, they're neck and neck, honestly. That's, if you want to talk about great women's matches, this is one of those things where, you know, I've got my wrestling taste. And at this point, everyone knows it. I like the lucha stuff and I like the old Joshi stuff. And the Joshi does not get better than Toyota and Hakuto from Destiny 95. Everyone is going to say, oh, Bull Nakano versus Toyota. Yes, it's great. I like this one.
Well, look, everyone has their own favorites. There's a 2 out of 3 falls match that I've got on something between the British Bulldogs against the Hart Foundation, which I've watched to death. You know, Malenko versus Guerrero, I've watched to death. And I have an honorable mention for chicken salad. And that is, it seems like people are finally recognizing how fucking good Dean Malenko was and how much of an influence he was. And he doesn't look like a wrestler, but you would not mess with him. He has had such an impact on modern wrestling. People like Brian Danielson, Claudio Gresham definitely takes a lot from Malenko. Joe took so much from Malenko. He is not mentioned in the greatest wrestler of all time. And I don't know why. It upsets me that he's not. He should be. If you watch him, he's sudden, he's quick, he's believable, he's dangerous. And everything they're doing with Hook happened 20 years ago.
It's just the Iceman character again, right?
Exactly.
Malenko was so cool. And the thing that I always say about Malenko is, you think you know what a Malenko match looks like, right? Imagine a Malenko match in your head. When you go to watch it, it's double that speed.
Mm.
It's exactly what you're imagining, but faster. He worked at such a pace that it's just ridiculous how technical he was able to be, how hard-hitting he was able to be, and just keep going and going at the pace that he worked. One of the greats, one of the absolute greats.
I'm going to give some recommendations here. Go watch his series against Guerrero. Go watch his series against Scorpio. They're both in ECW. And the Guerrero match is also in WCW. His run with the US title is fantastic. He put over Ray so strongly in the United States when no one
Malenko
else
could. Malenko Ray. Mwah.
Just brilliant. And even his final stuff against Scott Taylor, because Scott Taylor is a great worker. And their matches together were fantastic, including a DDT off the top rope. Amazing.
Incredible.
Watch it. Just go and watch it. You'll love it.
All right. That's us being old wrestling men for a minute. Let me put over my actual chicken salad for the week, which is, and again, like, let's just talk about exactly the thing Lachlan likes in wrestling. AEW put on a tornado tag match between La Facción. I can never say it right.
La Facción Ingobernables.
Thank you. And the Lucha Bros. Tornado tag. Andrade El Idolo and Rush versus Penta Oscuro and Rey Fénix. What more could I ask for? That's what I want to see on my television. Put that on, but instead of giving it 15 minutes, give it an hour. Like, I want it shot into my veins. It is so quick and impactful. I love watching literally all four of those men.
Oh, yeah.
You put any one of those four men into a match, and I'm interested in watching it. I think that Roosh, I think, doesn't get the credit he deserves for being so, so, so good. There's a reason he was Ring of Honor champ for so long. El Idolo was getting five-star matches in NXT for good reason. The Lucha Brothers, both independently, are some of the best luchadors that have ever lived. These guys are magic, and every time they're on my TV, I get happy.
Mine is different. Mine is in the other company. Mine is in WWE, and it's looking at the potential and looking at the future. The fact that Ciampa is becoming a deal makes me so happy, because unlike yourself, I'm a fan of the technical stuff. I'm a fan, which is why I love Malenko. You know, I'm a fan of the stuff that looks like it hurts.
See, I'm speed exclusively, which is why I like Malenko.
Yeah, and we probably both love people like Robbie Eagles, because he covers both quite wonderfully. And seeing Ciampa and seeing Kofi and seeing the War Machine guys, and I know I covered this earlier, but that is my chicken salad. It is the opportunity. Now, we are not going to know. We are realistically not going to know how things turn out until Triple H has had that book for what, a year. But let's be honest, the first 2 weeks, we know what's coming next in Raw. We know what's coming next in SmackDown. We haven't been able to say that for about 15 years. It doesn't look like it's just, I don't know, Dolph Ziggler against Ciampa. Ciampa wins 1 week. Ziggler wins the next week. Ciampa wins the third week. They do a pay-per-view payoff. Who cares? They're making me care again, and I'm really happy about that. Now, if they just got out of Saudi Arabia and brought back the women's only pay-per-view with an Iron Women's match between Io Shirai and Asuka, I'd be fucking thrilled.
Oh, you're speaking my language there, Jeff. Look, I fully agree. It feels like WWE is trying to get us invested again, and match quality works for a lot, but investment is what gets you those five stars.
Absolutely. And I think eventually we're going to see a short face run from The Miz when Ciampa turns on him. And Ciampa's going to start saying the word Goldie again very soon.
Oh, absolutely. And look, I love seeing Ciampa hold the belt. I love seeing him with gold.
Favorite Ciampa moment, if you don't mind me just veering off again for a second, was do you remember the guys were stuck in Saudi Arabia, like SmackDown, and there were a handful of workers, and there was a SmackDown where NXT invaded.
It was just an NXT invasion SmackDown.
Yeah. And it ended with Cole versus Danielson in a great match. It was like 35 minutes. It was absolutely incredible. I rated it as one of Cole's best matches, but big surprise. And all the NXT guys came out and celebrated. Everyone was cheering, and Ciampa was looking at the belt, did not take his eyes off the belt for a second. And that is why I think Ciampa is fantastic. And that is why Triple H clearly has faith in him, because he probably went, hey, man, it would be cool if you did this. And Ciampa went, great, I'll do it.
And you know what? It'd be cool if you did this. Subscribe to Wrestle Radio Australia. Go search for us. You'll find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, Podcast Addict, wherever you get your podcasts. Go hit subscribe to Wrestle Radio Australia. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review. It really does help us get into new ears. You can follow us on the socials at Wrestle Radio AU on Twitter and Instagram. Search Facebook for Wrestle Radio Australia. Follow us there. Let us know what you want to see. You want merchandise? We've got merchandise. Search Redbubble for Wrestle Radio Australia. None of the proceeds of that go to us, though. That'll go to Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life, two awesome awesome charities supporting men's mental health here in Australia. We love wrestling. That's what we're here for. Do you have any closing words on that, Jeff?
Yeah, I do. We spent the first half talking about great Australian wrestling. No matter where you live in this country, almost everywhere has great Australian wrestling every weekend of the year. Go and see stuff. Get out and see stuff. And actually, let's, you know, get in touch with us and let us know who we should check out as well. Check out stuff on Fight TV. The MCW stuff's on Fight TV. The Renegade stuff's on Fight TV. PWA's on Fight TV. And as we said earlier, the Australian Wrestling Network, it's everywhere. By the way, follow WrestleBrania. We've got some fun things coming up in Sydney and then more to announce before the end of the year. So, you know.
Yeah, very exciting. I'd definitely keep our ears out onto that WrestleBrania stuff. So that's us. And also, you know, follow me. I'm at Lachlan Albert on Twitter. Jeff, I believe your stuff is at WrestleBrania on Twitter. Is that right?
My WrestleBrania stuff is at WrestleBrania. And, of course, I'm at Jeff underscore Seti if you want to.
And you can also follow Todd, the pod god, at Beast Eastman. So make sure you're on top of that as well. Look, with all said and done, we'll be back to talk more wrestling very soon. That's been Jeff Seti. I've been Lachlan Albert. Have a good one.
Ciao.